The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Right now, we're joined by Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com for more information. Coach Carbs, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hope all is well with you. Right off the bat, can you give us an update on the most important and critical injury the team is dealing with right now? And I'm not talking about Ovi's leg.
Willie.
Is Tom Wilson's dreamy face okay? Please let us and all the ladies in the... I know he's married. I know he's accounted for, but we need Willie's face to be okay. What is the latest?
His face is going to be okay. It is going to be okay. I can assure everybody at home.
It's a great relief.
We're driving this morning that his face will be all right. He should be good to go for tomorrow night in Columbus.
Take us through him taking the puck off of his left cheek. It was from Chicky, and luckily it wasn't one of his slappers, because we know that those travel at a high rate of speed, but still his wrist shot packs some punch as Willie's going, you know, skating across the crease. He takes it right off the cheek. He skates immediately over to the bench, gets looked at, goes back into the dressing room. The Canadians build a 2-0 lead. Then, of course, because he's a warrior and that's what he does, he comes back out and scores 2 goals, and by the end of the game, his face is blown up like a beach ball.
You essentially just described moment by moment exactly what was going down, and sort of in the time, like Chicky's shot gets deflected, it goes off of their defender's stick, so that's why it went to a weird spot. Like, because sometimes people ask me, like, they go, how does that not happen more often? But players are usually, when they shoot the puck, they know when there's traffic around and they're trying to find it through. So they very rarely shoot it that high. Where it gets sometimes it goes haywire is when it goes off of something and tips. And that's what happened in that situation. It tipped off the defender's stick. So now it gets up high. And that's where Willie was going across the net front and catches him. And in that moment, what I'm thinking is he gets hit. He comes back. You can tell, uh-oh, this is not good. Usually it's, good night for that player, and you're always hoping and you're optimistic, but as a coach, I have to figure out adjustments on the fly, because if you just sit there, where's Willie, you're going to miss the next line change, and now all of a sudden we're down forward. I got to move people around. You got to get a new right winger playing with Stromer and that, so I didn't expect him to come back, so I just started to move the lines around and make alternate plans. And then when he came flying back out, and our athletic trainer Jason Service said he was good to go and able to continue to play, he went right back in there. And what a credit! And you said it, like a lot of guys will come back from stuff in a game, whether it's stitches, a cut, you know, they get nicked up and they come back in. And that's a hockey player. That's not just Tom Wilson. That's our sport, and that's the guys that lay it on the line. But for him, with what he was going through, and I can only imagine how bad his face was throbbing in the pressure.
Yeah.
And to perform in the third, like, you should see some of the clips, not just the goals, but what he did in the third period to have a positive impact and basically drag us back into that hockey game was just incredible.
Coach, you ever coach a guy in hockey that was kind of soft? It doesn't seem like any of them are.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever have one guy, though, you're like, come on, guy.
There's the odd guy that, you know, like, gets hurt. And it's like, come on, can't we play through that hangnail? Like, we should be all right, no? Yeah.
Doesn't really seem to be a thing, though, in hockey.
No. It's very, very rare. And most guys are going to do everything they possibly can. And usually it's the opposite. It's the trainers and our athletic trainer holding players out when they really want to be in there.
Right. Coach, you guys haven't lost on the road since the Carolina game, which was November 2nd, maybe November 3rd, early November, first week of November. You guys are 11-2 on the road. Man, you guys just have a strong, you know, maybe some of it has to do with schedule, but you guys have a really good mindset on the road. 11 out of 13 is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I would agree, and I'm trying to, or we are trying to find creative ways to bring that mindset and the way that we've played on the road to our home ice. Because I feel like, I mean, overall, obviously very happy with where we're at and how we're playing overall. I do think we can do a better job of replicating some of the things that we've been doing on the road on home ice. As you've seen, some of the games, you know, we've gotten results and we found ways to win some games or get games to overtime. But I do think that we could bring some of that road mindset and the way and the things that we've been doing so successfully, like you mentioned, to Capital One.
Coach, one of the things that's most impressive about this current iteration of the Capitals team is after that disappointing loss to the Sharks, you know, the word that you kept stressing in the postgame was we're deviating because we wanted it easy instead of doing things we want to do. And then the team just rebounds on a back-to-back in Canada, take care of both the Maple Leafs and Montreal. You show toughness in coming back, trailing against the Canadiens. So even when you guys, like, stumble or stub your toe a little bit, these guys just bounce back, like, immediately, and that's impressive.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's such a great point of describing our group of when you lay, not a challenge, but, hey, these are the areas that we need to do a much better job, and then you lay out the team that you're going to play against, Toronto, going into their building, one of the best home teams in the NHL. And that game we played in Toronto, one of our best performances of the season, and it was so patient. We played a very well-rounded road game. We, to use that word, we didn't deviate at all. We just stuck with it and continued to chip away. And they don't give you very much. They're a good defensive team, but in those games, and you just have to stay with it, stay patient. And when your opportunity comes, you take advantage because there's not going to be a lot of room either way. And that's, I was really proud of that game because I thought it was a really good test for us. And like you said, coming off that San Jose game, huge rebound game for our group.
Coach Carves, I'm not sure if you're aware that your top assist man, Dylan Strome, and one of the junks, Eric Bickle, they actually have something in common.
We do?
Yeah. Each have recently undergone root canals. Strome got one because he got high-sticked in the mouth in the back-to-back games.
Yeah, me too.
Now, Bickle, just because he has bad teeth.
Yeah. Too many Mountain Dews.
To add insult to injury, Stromer had the procedure done on Thanksgiving morning.
Wow.
So he couldn't even enjoy
it. It must have hurt.
He couldn't even enjoy the Thanksgiving feast. Mm-hmm. It's distressing.
Because what happened, we played in Tampa on that Wednesday on the mentors trip, and then we come home. So Thursday was obviously Thanksgiving, and it was an off day. But then we had a back-to-back with the Islanders in New Jersey. So there was no way around it. We had to get call the dentist in on Thanksgiving and get some work done so that Strömer could they were trying to salvage as much of his teeth as they could so that they didn't have to, you know, all of them would, I guess it's a pretty timely situation when you're trying to salvage the life of some of your teeth down there that get knocked.
Hey, Coach, kudos to you, Brian McClellan, the GM, all the other coaches and player personnel staff, not only for the Caps, but for the Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. After this most recent weekend's games, all three of those teams led their respective leagues and sat first overall in points. So not only are the Caps doing it, but you know the AHL version is doing it in Hershey, the South Carolina team, and the ECHL. I think that's still the league that they participate in. Like, that just speaks to how good the organization is, not only on the Caps level, but other tiers down, too.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And what a credit to the entire organization, but starting at the top and the consistency at which they operate as a management group, and starting with Ted. And it's just, even when there's stumbles at certain levels, and there's very rarely an overreaction. It's very well thought out. So you get this consistency through all three tiers of organizations. There's absolute hunger and desire to win every single night. But there's also a logical plan to it, and a very well thought out approach that isn't just making rash decisions. And that's what I have so much appreciation for and respect for. And it's gone on long before I was here. And when I was down in the ECHL coaching in South Carolina, coaching in Hershey, it was the same exact way. So this is nothing new that we're learning about how things operate here in Washington and at all three levels.
Joined by Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. So I saw your quotes from a few days ago about the upcoming Four Nations face-off tourney, as Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the U.S. are going to face off in Montreal and Boston coming up in February. No Caps selected to any of the team's rosters. Kind of disrespectful, and I think you felt the same way by not having any of your guys representing their countries.
Yeah, I was bummed. I understand. Like, those are really tough decisions. Very, very smart hockey people that are in charge and there's no easy decisions, because the players that made the team, if you go down the list, they're like, there's great players. I just felt, with where we're at, this isn't a coach advocating for players on a 500 team or a team that's, you know, fighting for a playoff spot. Like, this is a team that's sitting atop the Eastern Conference standings, and we have some players that are massive reasons why we are where we are, that I just felt like you'd be crazy not to take them when you're talking about a best-on-best tournament where there's games that are one-and-done games, because I've been around these guys. I've been around John Carlson, and I've seen what he does when your season's on the line, or when a game becomes so important that you have to win and you have to get the job done. And so I understand I'm biased with my opinion, but I also think there's a lot of substance to why John Carlson, Tom Wilson, Stromer a little bit on the outside, but has had a great year of getting himself in the conversation. Logan Thompson and what he's done this year absolutely has a strong argument, Sandy. And so I just was a little bit disappointed that we didn't have one representative going to that.
Coach, Connor McMichael played 80 games last year and had 18 goals, 15 dimes, 33 points. And he was obviously a first-round pick a few years ago, and Caps fans are kind of waiting for him to kind of blossom. This year, in 27 games, he already has 15 goals and 11 assists and 26 points. So he's on pace for, call it, you know, goals in the 40s, somewhere in there. What's he doing differently? His shooting percentage is almost 20% as compared to 13% last year. What's he doing differently that's given you so much production? Because he's balling.
Yeah, he worked. One of the main focuses we had coming out of last year, because he would generate a lot. He's got great feet, good skating, good offensive instincts. He got himself into a lot of really quality scoring chances last year and struggled to finish. This summer, you know, we talked after the year, is that the next step for him to be an elite offensive player in this league is he's got to work on his shot. He has to get home and in the summer work on his shot, work on his finishing, working on his hands in tight. And such credit goes to him, because he's worked tirelessly to to A, do that, and then B, find some different ways to score, which another thing that we've worked on is getting him to the inside of the ice a lot more and not settling to play on the perimeter as a quote-unquote slighter guy that's not 6'4", 220 pounds. And so he plays in the inside of the ice for a skill guy, which when you do that, I think there was a stat, like he's got 8 or 9 goals that are within 3 to 5 feet of the net.
Mm.
So you take those in and you add, you know, you're beating a goalie with your shot the odd time, like now you got 15 goals or whatever you got in 27 games. And so he deserves a lot of credit. It hasn't been all roses and butterflies for him on his journey to get where he is. He's had to go back to the American League. He's played a ton of games in the AHL and the minors, but I'm really proud of his progression and where he's at now, because he's earned every inch of it.
Mm.
Coach Carbs, I know this is skipping a game ahead, and you're only focused on Columbus right now. That's your opponent on Thursday. Mm-hmm. But can you give us a nugget or two about the Sabres so we can sound semi-smart while we're doing the Altcast Saturday night?
That's a good one, Case.
As Buffalo comes to Capital One this upcoming Saturday. Just one or two easy nuggets.
Yep. They have two elite offensive players. And I think if Dahlin doesn't play, Dahlin and Owen Power on the back end are real difference makers, like first overall pick,
mm-hmm.
Can skate, have all this poise as defensemen. Like they're young, sort of John Carlson type of defensemen. But the two guys up front, they are big and can skate, Alex Tuck and Tage Thompson.
Tuck and Thompson.
Tuck and Thompson, TNT. Okay, perfect. That's all we need. We're good.
All right.
Well, Coach, best
somehow
of luck.
We'll turn that into 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna really like stretch it out. Trust us, Coach. We're good at that. Best of luck against Columbus on Thursday. Keep the heater going, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Have a great week.
Yeah,
all
you
right,
too,
thank
man.
You, buddy.
That's Head Coach Spencer Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up next, we will hit the skins as the skins prepare for the Saints.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekend. Coming up in just over an hour, we'll talk NFL with Ben Vallin, national NFL writer for the Boston Globe. Always like touching base with him. He'll be on at 8:40. But right now, it's time to hit the skins. That's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Well, then sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. That's what it does.
Need a lot of don't sleep. Only
sure.
Had 4 hours.
You know what? I think I'm going to pop one into Drab's freezer right now. So in about an hour, it'll be nice and frosty, almost slushy. That's
you don't like room temperature. You're not a room temperature guy.
Room temperature? I don't drink anything room temperature. No, thank you.
So it's supposed to help absorption. And it's in.
I don't care.
You don't have this issue? It's easier on the teeth.
I need so cold water and soda. I just need it super cold.
Can I give you, this is humiliating. Can I give you what I still have to do on my teeth? Can I
sure.
give you the agenda? And then I'm going to hit the skins. I just want you to know what I still have on the agenda.
You're going to hit the molars.
I'm going to hit the molars for you real quick.
I also did some recon for you yesterday, some investigation.
Oh, for the implants thing?
No, well, I went to the dentist yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just had a lot of questions.
You asked him why does he need so many root canals?
I said, I have a friend that has, he's blaming genetics.
Yeah.
Genetics definitely a factor, but also sugar.
And she said, it's possible small percentages genetics.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She said it's most, she said a lot, you don't sleep on your environment. She said some homes have like more bacteria than others. Mm-hmm. She was talking about how a friend or of theirs got divorced And after they got divorced, the wife stopped having dental issues because she got away from her husband, I guess, who had a lot of bacteria.
Huh.
So
I could blame my wife.
You could blame Dina for sure.
Yeah, but Dina
she said genetics.
I'm a dirty house.
She got better
unlikely.
TV. She got better teeth. Better TV. I think it's both my parents had terrible teeth. Both. But my brothers don't have issues. My sister doesn't have issues. They have normal. I don't know. Listen, I know I've been drinking soda forever, and soda does it.
Well, your sister wouldn't be genetic.
Correct. But she grew up in the same environment,
right.
If you were saying an environment thing. What were you saying?
It's mostly just what you're doing day to day.
Yeah, listen. My dentist said 20 years ago, he said, listen, you've got these little issues here from all this sugar and stuff. There's nothing we can do. Like, you just have to monitor it over time and deal with it as it occurs, right? And so that was 20 years ago. Because you could do it on the x-ray, you could see there's a little bit of decay here, a little bit of decay here.
Right.
What are we gonna do? I mean, you know, got to ride it out. So here's where I currently stand. I've had 2 root canals in the last month.
One more than Stromer.
All right, one more. I got one up on
him. You got him beat.
I'm better at him at root canals.
All right? Okay, if that's the way you want to keep score, sure.
For sure, I need to crown the one. The other one, they actually drilled through the crown to do it because I already had a crown on it. I don't know what I have to do that one. I have a back one here where the crown fell off, and the dentist said that one's just too far gone, needs to be extracted. I have another one that needs a root canal. Okay? On the other side of my mouth.
That mouth is a mess.
And then I have another one that either needs to be extracted.
Another one.
Or it needs to be crowned.
More crowns than the royal family.
Yeah. Currently, that's what I still have to do. Like, it's just, you can't, you know, got to schedule it.
His favorite whiskey?
Crown Royal. What I love about Crown Royal is you get those free little bags.
You love those velvet bags.
And you can put your teas in there.
Right.
Or you could, you know, your kids can put their whatever,
put your
their
teeth
money.
In there.
Yeah, you put your teeth for the
tooth fairy. You give Crown Royal bags to your kids?
Huh?
You give Crown Royal bags to your kids?
Yeah, like they, yeah. So you guys need something to put your whatever? You want to put your lip glosses or whatever, your nail polishes? Here, take
Kate, this is classy.
The last time I encountered Crown Royal is when we were at the Canadian Embassy for the Three Doors Down show.
Oh, God, that was so long.
No, that wasn't Three Doors Down. It was Seven Days Grace.
I'm getting my bands mixed up. 3 Days Grace.
3 Days Grace.
Yeah. I knew it had a three in it.
3 Days Grace.
Yes.
Don't you remember?
They were bitter. They didn't
but
want
there
to come
was only
in.
Like, there wasn't anybody there.
They literally came out and played. They played 2 songs.
No, there were people in the stands, but there weren't that many
they
people
there. They came out
there.
And played 2 songs, 2 or 3, yeah. Maybe. And then
they were out.
Scurried back to their tour bus.
Right, because they didn't care about the dumb Canadian embassy.
They did not want to be there.
But the Canadian embassy wanted to glom onto their fame.
They did,
wanted to give them their gold record or whatever.
That's correct.
Platinum record.
Yeah.
Those guys are still around. Kudos to them.
I'm sure.
Still putting out music.
What are they, in their mid-40s probably?
They have to be. Yeah. I mean, that was 20 years ago.
Incredible.
All right, so let's hit the skins here, Cakes.
I barely remember that day.
A couple things here that are kind of interesting. I always like to look at the power rankings. We haven't done this in a while when we were swooning. You know, just kind of like when we're losing, I'm not going to ask Drab, if he's going to put Jaden in the Hall of Fame. I'm also not going to look at our power rankings when we're swooning.
But during a bye week, it's cool to look at the power rankings.
Well,
coming
also,
off a win.
Coming off a dub.
Yep.
And it looks like, where do you think, I mean, I gave you a range of 2 or 3 rankings. You know, like, where do you think we would rank?
Current power rankings.
Like 28 to 30, 1 to 3.
I would say
17.
No,
18.
I don't think they're that low. I would say they're like 12 to 15.
They seem to be around 8 to 10.
Oh, wow.
11.
Okay.
Okay, here you go. I'll just rip off the ones that Yahoo has collated or put together.
I'm convinced more than ever that Yahoo only exists to this day because people use it for fantasy football and maybe email. Why else would you use Yahoo in 2024?
I see him at 12 here on CBS.
Right, so in that range. So Nate Davis from USA Today has him 9.
Okay,
NFL good. Nation on ESPN has him 10. Ben Rolf from Pro Football Network has him 11. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News has him 10. Mike Florio, notorious Commanders hater, has him at 10.
He's an anti-Commanders guy?
He really loathed Dan Snyder. Remember
that. Well, everybody loathed Dan Snyder.
I know. Eric Edholm from NFL.com. He has him 11. So in the rankings that I have here, where they're compiled, okay, they seem to be around between like 9 and 12.
I'd put the Rams ahead of them now, and the Rams are below them. And a lot of, I'd put the Buccaneers ahead of them because they beat them. I'd put them around 14.
So the Buccaneers beat us in week one. You're not giving us any credit. That was also Cliff's worst game. He was terrible in that game.
I'm just going to put him, I'd put a lot of stock into the head-to-head.
Yeah, but it was week one.
Okay, but the Commanders lost three straight games before beating a bad team. I mean, I'm not going to elevate them that much.
Okay, they lost a couple of them to some really good teams.
And I think the Rams,
non-believer, right there.
I believe they're a playoff team.
He's been pooping on them all year. He had them winning like five games.
Right.
He didn't have vision.
I don't believe, I don't agree with Mike Florio, doesn't mean I'm a non-believer. I think they're a playoff team, but I think there are some other teams that are better than them that are probably below them in the power
rankings. I think your Salisbury guy, DQ, would be a little bit disappointed in your outlook on the team.
He'll get over it.
I'm sure he will.
All right, so Cakes, this is cool. I like this. They have the Pro Bowl voting is out there, and there are actually 10 positions where Commanders are in the top 10.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So obviously, I'm just going to give you the first one.
Well, Jaden's definitely in the top 10. He might be
Jaden
top three.
At quarterback is three.
Yeah.
Lamar, Josh, Jaden.
It's pretty good. Okay. Good company to be in.
All right. Let's go through the other positions and see if you can name the guys McLaurin and where they might be.
Terry's got to be top.
Terry, all right. Five, go to wide receiver. I believe Terry is four.
Okay.
At wide receiver. Currently in the fans. Pro Bowl voting. You got Justin Jefferson 1, Ja'Marr Chase 2, Amon-Ra St. Brown 3, and Terry ahead of CeeDee Lamb, Zay Flowers, George Pickens, A.J. Brown.
That's what 9 touchdowns will do for you.
What about B-Rob? Is B-Rob right, getting any love?
Let me see.
Maybe not because he missed a couple games, but he's been impressive this season.
We don't have a running back in the top 10.
What about Biotish at center? Is he getting
Taylor
any love?
Taylor Biotish is in there. He is. Thought I saw him. Yeah, he's 8. Good job, Cakes.
Okay.
All right, so we got quarterback. We got center. Mm-hmm. We got wide receiver. Let's go. Come on.
I don't think Ertz is getting tight end love, is he?
Zach Ertz, 10th.
Oh, so he just sneaks in.
I'm going to give you another one because you'll never get it. Tyler Ott, the long snapper, is in the top 10.
You're right. You would never get that. I would not have gotten that.
All right.
All right. Let's go to the defense.
Fowler.
Frankie Louvu.
Yeah, Louvu's got to be.
Fowler and Louvu, 5-6. Both have a real shot at making a Pro Bowl.
Who else?
And then we have
Wagner.
Bobby Wagner is in there. Pretty sure he's in there, an inside linebacker, right? I could be wrong. Let me check. Yeah, he's 4. How many Pro Bowls has Bobby Wagner made?
Ask Drab T-shirt.
Drabby, you're his official agent. How many has he made? He's made a bunch, I think.
11.
I'm just making it up. All right.
It sounds like a good number.
That's a good number. I'll go with it. Any other cakes? You got any more guesses? How about this? Special teams.
Jeremy Reeves.
Jeremy Reeves. Not Tress. Is Tress not in there? They don't have. Yeah, Tress is not in there.
Maybe
for
he hadn't punted enough.
Yeah, good point. All right, so you got.
Drabby was close. 9-time Pro Bowler, Bobby Wagner.
Strong, soon to be 10. Strong safety.
Strong safety. Let's go.
Jeremy Chin.
Chin?
Jeremy Chin. And I think that's it. Yeah, so 10 different positions. Now, the nubbiest is Zach Ertz at 10.
Yep.
But mostly the other guys look like maybe
Seibert hadn't gone on the downswing, and
if he didn't swoon,
he would have been in the mix.
All right.
But he did.
I always like this, even though Jason disrespects us.
Right.
He thinks we're not a good football team. And he picked us to win like 5 games. Notorious
Skins
hater.
I picked them to win 7. Okay, but go ahead.
Notorious Skins hater. Their Week 17 matchup, Christmas week, against the Falcons is one of the top candidates to be what, Cakes?
Flexed.
Flexed. Here are the 5 games under consideration to be flexed in Week 17.
All right.
You got Falcons, Commanders.
Okay.
Clearly with Jaden, big time game, Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk revenge game.
Arizona Cardinals at the Rams.
Okay.
Cardinals might be dead.
There's
by then.
A lot of Bo Nix hype.
There is.
Denver at Cincinnati. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
This one makes no sense to me. Why the Colts Giants? Can you explain that to me?
I don't understand that at all. I
mean, is it just maybe people want to see the quarterback?
Aren't the Giants
New
two
York big market?
The Giants are 2-11, correct?
Yes.
Nobody, I don't understand that.
That won't be flexed.
Even Giants fans don't want to watch that team.
And then the Chargers Patriots?
Well, Chargers are in the playoff hunt. They want to see Drake May play.
I think a Commanders Falcons might be the leader in the clubhouse.
That to
there.
Me looks like the sexiest
one. Now that's if the Falcons can take care of their business and beat the stupid Raiders this week and stay alive in the playoff hunt. If they lose to the Raiders, they fall way out of the picture.
They say the I'm stealing this from USA Today. The Commanders game of those games, the Washington Atlanta seems to have the most playoff implications.
Mm-hmm.
So the
Cardinals Rams would as well.
Yes.
Like, you know, that could be a big division race game. Remember, that's Christmas. Well, that's after Christmas, but that's Christmas week. There's two games on Christmas Day.
Right. That's silly.
One in four thirty. Ravens are playing on Christmas Day.
I know what Valdez is doing on Christmas.
That could really ruin your day, though. I have no idea who they're playing. Who they're playing?
Houston.
Houston. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what ruins my day? Is that we have to work on the 24th and 26th.
That is true.
That's ruining a lot of days.
Last but not least, Cakes, the Commanders announced their 2024 Ed Block Courage Award recipient is...
Can you give me a hint?
He's a kind of a notorious good guy, feel-good story.
Tress why?
Jeremy Reeves.
I was going to say Jeremy Reeves.
Yeah.
I slipped.
Yeah. There you go.
Our nation's heroes need your support. If you have an old car or extra vehicle that you no longer need, donating it to the Purple Heart Foundation can provide critical assistance to vets and their families, too. Donating a car is easy. You'll get free pickup and a tax receipt. That's important. And veterans will get the life-saving support that they need. Visit purpleheartfoundation.org to donate a car and help our heroes. We need your support today. That's the Purple Heart Foundation. So, Jason, I'm not sure if you saw this video yesterday or not. It went viral. So we all have done deals with car dealerships, have car endorsements over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I currently endorse Lindsay. They have three different dealerships in the area. EB's with BMW. So we all have dealt with people that work at car dealerships, been in car dealerships many, many times.
Many times.
Over the years.
Of course.
Since we've been doing radio. So this video yesterday is of a guy in, I believe it's Sandy, Utah, who had just bought, I guess, a used or refurbished Subaru. And he bought it, I guess, without a warranty. He bought it as is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he bought it as it was right off the dealership lot. And I guess it had some sort of mechanical issue after he bought it. And he was upset with the fact that the car that he had just bought without a warranty was basically a lemon. So how do you think he dealt with that with the people at the car dealership yesterday? If you haven't seen the video.
I have not seen the video, but I'm just looking at the story. He drove it into the dealership.
Yeah. He basically was outside of the glass-paned portion of the dealership. And instead of just walking in and asking to speak to the manager or trying to deal with it rationally.
He flipped.
Yeah, he lost his mind temporarily and floored it and drove his car directly into the dealership.
He pulled a Mangione.
I mean, he didn't kill anybody. But,
he could have.
I mean, he definitely could have killed somebody.
Could have been someone sitting right there at a desk.
Could you imagine like the... that you're just hanging out with whoever at the car dealership that you're doing an endorsement for. You're just hanging at their desk. And all of a sudden, a guy just drives through and smashes all of the glass and emerges out of the car, ranting and raving, screaming, dropping F-bombs on people. Mm. I mean, the guys who are working at the dealership are like, call the police. Get the cops out of here because this thing is going off the rails.
That is terrifying. Well, at least he didn't shoot the guy.
I mean, he didn't, but I mean, it's a pretty drastic measure. It's a pretty drastic way to take care of a problem with your vehicle.
Right. No, of course. Frustration. People get road rage. I mean, they lose their minds.
I've been inside car dealerships 50 times, maybe 100 times over the last 25 years.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody angry.
It's usually like
Yeah.
It's very professional.
Oh, that's a good question.
People are having negotiations, you know, like.
Oh, I bet they're angry all the time. That's a great question for our car guys.
Well, no, we just never see
it. We never see it.
Yeah, they sure we don't see it, but.
Oh, I guarantee you that our connections in these dealerships.
I told you the story. I left a car dealership angry.
Okay.
I was angry at my father.
Okay.
We were looking at. It was a Dodge Charger, the knockoff, which is the Plymouth Duster.
Okay.
Okay, so Dodge and Plymouth.
Plymouth isn't even a
name. You probably never even heard
anymore.
Of Plymouth, have you? Yeah. Mike Maher, you ever heard of Plymouth cars?
No chance.
They made replicas. They were like the same sister company.
What about Pontiac? You know anything about Pontiac?
That still exists?
No, it's been dead for years.
So
Oldsmobile?
We were looking at a used, right in your hood, in Lanham. Yep. Was there?
I know exactly where that was.
Was there a Dodge
right
dealership
off of Lanham
there?
Severn Road.
Was it a Dodge dealership, or was this a random dealership?
Didn't it used to be
cars?
Right next to where the McDonald's
Well, there
is?
Was a few. There was a Ford there, and I think there was two or three different
It was across the street from the McDonald's, yeah. I believe.
Yes,
it was,
yes.
Okay.
It was near the Red Roof Inn.
Yes. Right. So we went in there, and we saw it because we saw it in the paper.
I think that's still there.
I'll never forget. It was $4,900.
Very nice.
All right. If you remember the old Dodge Charger, now this is Plymouth Duster, but Dodge Charger. Same, basically, exact same car. It's weird. It's hard to explain. They were like sister companies. They basically were the same car, just different labels.
Right.
So we went in there, and my dad, we took it on a test drive. Loved it. It was going to be a sporty little car. I was 18 years old. Finally got, remember, my parents didn't let me drive until I was 18.
That's right.
So finally got, and I'm going to get a car.
You weren't stealing cars like I was.
No.
And driving them down to Ocean City.
Right. No. I was law abiding.
At 15.
Citizen.
Hoodlum.
We went in there.
I can't believe we did that.
They wanted $4,900 for it.
Okay.
My dad offered $3,500.
Ooh, that's coming in low.
He undercut him big time. And they said, sorry, you know, they went back and forth. They went and talked to the manager.
Couldn't meet like at
4K. They thought they had us right on the.
They couldn't meet in the middle.
Oh, he said, sorry, we just can't do it. This is a hot car. It's only been here, but we're going to.
Right.
So he goes, okay. And we walk out. I go, what are we doing? Yeah. We're walking out.
I mean, didn't your dad teach you have to be willing to walk away?
Yeah, exactly.
You have to at least show them that.
So I'm despondent. Right. And I'm 18 years old. We're walking out of there. And he goes, that's all right, son. They'll probably call us in a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, 2 days later, they called.
Right.
Come back in. They do the old split in the middle. I'll never forget it. Bought it for $4,200.
There you have
it. Cut the difference in half.
The art of negotiation. The art of the deal.
Learned a great lesson from your old man.
There you have it.
Hmm.
Yeah, but your dad didn't floor his car and drive into the middle of the dealership because he was upset that they didn't give him the price that he wanted.
Fair enough.
The guy called his shot. He told him he was going to do it. He said, if you don't take this back, I'm going to drive it through the front window.
Right.
Man, when someone says that.
Sorry, as is.
Right.
And he got back in and seemed to be driving fine.
Oh, it's
someone says
right
that.
Through the glass. I know that.
Call the cops. Call the cops.
I want the car. I told you, mother.
Whoa. Bro, shit.
Call the cops.
That sounded a lot like when the car crashed into the building at 10800 Main
Street. That felt like an earthquake. I'll still remember the way that all felt.
Sure. I legitimately thought a small plane had crashed into the building. It was that loud of a noise.
And of course, we have to say JP was, you know, people can say what they want about JP. He was concerned for the driver. I was concerned for us.
I was concerned he had. Did you ever see the end of Arlington Road? I know you haven't. You saw the end of Arlington Road.
Of course, it blows up the CIA building.
Right, where he had a bomb.
Where he doesn't know it, but he's delivering the bomb into the FBI building.
Yeah.
I thought that there was going to be a blinking red light in the guy's trunk.
Mm. Yeah.
And for some reason, he wanted to kill all the junks in one fell swoop.
Right.
Luckily, he didn't.
We have a lot of enemies.
Just some rando guy who shocked
her. Did he fall asleep at the wheel?
We never found out.
Here's my theory.
He was an older dude.
My theory is
lost control.
It was wet, and he tried to speed through the light, lost control, hopped the curb, and somehow he really threaded the needle because he kept his car between a big-ass tree to the left, and there was something else, like a brick wall to the right.
Yeah, it was cement. Yeah.
And he went right into the glass, soft underbelly of the building and just...
Almost took out Valdez.
Were
you there?
Killed,
or no,
almost
you were like one
noodles.
Seat over.
Almost killed Adam.
I always get confused.
No,
so I can't remember.
All right.
It's a great junk story.
Brett was on vacation.
Right.
I was in the studio running the board.
Right.
Noodles, Adam, was in the seat that was to the left where the car crashed.
Yeah.
And I thank my lucky stars because I typically sit at the computer that got destroyed by the car.
Right.
So if Brett wasn't on vacation, I'd be dead.
You'd be dead.
A good
and
chance.
And we'd still be mourning your loss.
I would have gotten pummeled by the car,
yeah,
and I would be dead.
Right, because there would have been no getting out of the way. There was no warning.
There would be no warning.
That the guy's coming through the building.
Maybe it would have hit him.
Yeah. Maybe you would be like looking out the window, like forlornly waiting to get out of there.
When would I look out the window?
He'd be staring at his computer screen, at his orange computer screen, and then all of a sudden he would have been run over by a Honda Civic.
Did that happen in the first hour of the show, 2 hours of the show?
It was around 8 o'clock.
Wasn't that midday? No, that was morning.
That was morning. Yeah, definitely mornings.
That was a scary incident.
Certain things shape you. Cakes.
You'll never ever forget when that happened.
Right. And if you were in a car dealership, you'd be terrified.
Of course.
Listen, it's not the same thing. I don't know how people work in banks. You're just waiting to be robbed. Now, if you're in a car dealership, you're not necessarily waiting for someone to drive through, but
aren't bank robberies still relatively rare compared to the play the numbers game. I don't think bank robberies happen all that often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any numbers.
Couple of months? Like here in this area?
I have no idea.
Every day all across the country?
ATMs are stolen a lot more
than
banks are broken
into. They do love to wrap a chain around an ATM and pull it out of like a 7-Eleven. That's kind of a bit.
So dumb.
I think he's sleeping on bank robbery.
I think they happen all the time. I think they happen all the time.
Yeah, like probably a few a month around here.
Yeah, I'd say a few.
Five to
officially asleep on bank robbery.
Like, is your instinct like one a year or something around here?
No, I think it's higher than that. Well, but like, compared to the number of banks that are here, I mean, there have to be thousands of bank branches in the DC metro area.
I think they all get hit at times.
I'd say five or less per month in the entire area would be. Mm. That's just a guess, and usually I'm wrong with my guesses. But that's what I'm gonna go with.
In the
five
entire
or less.
Area, so DC, Maryland, and Virginia. I'm gonna go over.
Well,
that.
Are you including people coming out of the bank getting robbed? Because that happens.
I'm not
a
including
lot.
That.
That happens a lot.
I'm talking about guy walks in with either a weapon or
a note.
This is ballsy. A note
or the finger. You do the old finger.
Well,
trick.
Well, you can't do that.
Finger trick.
People are gonna sniff that out immediately. You either need a note implying you have a weapon, or you better have a weapon. I've been telling people how to rob banks. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. All right, coming up later on the show, we're going to stop talking about bank robberies, and we'll talk more NFL with Ben Valin from the Boston Globe. He'll join us coming up at 8:40.